You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Erin Brockovich became a household name 10 years ago when Julia Roberts played her in the Academy Award-winning film bearing her name. Since then, she's continued to fight for environmental rights while raising three children, and she has somehow managed to find time to write another book. This time, it's fiction, called Rock Bottom, the first in a series of thrillers from Vanguard Press. And I'm very pleased that it brings Erin Brockovich back to our show today. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks. It's good to be here.
Do you see venturing into fiction as another way of engaging in environmental activism?
Yes, but I see it also beyond that. Over the past 10 years since the film came out, first of all, I saw that the film was effective, you know, because if something can be told in an entertaining way, because we all get bogged down in, you know, really the sad stories and the struggles of life. And sometimes we just need an escape. And so a film gives people that, but at the same time kind of gets into their subconscious that, well, gosh, I'm kind of like that, or I could do that as well. And you can't just always make films. And so,
and I'm sure that that film was partly fictional anyway.
Well, my film? It was pretty true to fact.
Oh, it really was?
Yeah,
huh?
It really, really was.
And but we you're prettier about than that Julia Roberts.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. Thank you. That's a good thing I've been up for a few hours because I didn't look that way this morning. But people and communities care about the environment, but they also care about public health and safety and issues that are going on with their children and concerns. And I'm seeing that more often than not, they do feel helpless or hopeless, or they feel that they don't have a voice. So we felt if we could create a book with a character that they felt they were inspired by, that they could be like, and the stories are based on real environmental situations that are happening in this country today. If somebody could escape for a while and read that book and then close it and think, I'm going to get more proactive, I'm going to become involved, I want to be more aware, then I think it's a good thing. So that's why I did the book.
Now, you've written it with the help of C.J. Lyons.
Yes.
How much of this is yours and how much of it is C.J.'s?
Yeah. Well, it's a whole lot of mine. I mean, it's a very unique situation she and I have. I mean, she's a medical doctor, mm-hmm. and then she's gone into writing. And we bring a unique, each one of us, something to the table. I have the experience, having been out there for 20 years, to see what's happening with these communities, these folks, to dealing with companies, to agencies, and what's going on. And I can do a whole lot of storytelling through that experience. And she brings the writing skills together.
She has the adverbs and the adjectives.
So it flows so you can enjoy reading it.
Whose decision was it to not tell it in first person? You do have a strong protagonist here, but it's not told from her point of view.
I think that we all decided that between the publisher and myself and agents that work with us to help put something out there that would be appealing to people.
Your protagonist, Angela Joy Palladino, called AJ, is a self-reliant woman who works as a legal assistant on an environmental case. And people will immediately think, hey, gee, that sounds bit
familiar.
Like Erin Brockovich. How many characteristics do you share with AJ?
Well, we share some. I had more children. She has a child that has an illness. So I think that brings a different aspect of her into play that you didn't see with me. In some instances, I think she's a little more gutsy than I am. Sometimes, you know, I even sit back and read it and I'm thinking, would I have really done that? So there's a little room to play with her.
Well, like she actually can be quite brazen. She slapped a congressman, for example, and I was hoping you weren't all that hot-tempered because I was wondering whether I should carrying a weapon to protect myself in case I ask you a question you don't like.
Yeah, no, I am actually not that hostile at all. I am probably much more easier to get along with than people would imagine. But that's the fun of her because, you know, there are those moments where you see those scenarios where you just wish someone would be like, I'm just going to pop you upside the head. Oh, I can't do that, but AJ can. And it kind of just adds a great element to the story.
I've been reading a lot about the Koch brothers and all the money that they put into fighting any kind of attempts to control climate change issues. Mm-hmm. What are the biggest challenges environmental activists face? The fact that they just don't have as much money as their opponents?
Well, I think that there's a couple of things going on. And when I look at agencies, and I think agencies are well-meaning, but I have seen...
The EPA, you mean?
Whether it be federal or state. So we could be talking about Department of Toxic Substances and Control. We could be talking about state Department of Environmental Protections. We could be talking about federal. We could be talking about the Agencies for Toxic Substance Disease Registry. So I'm talking about numerous arms of agencies that were in place that were designed to protect us. But I do see that they are absent, and I don't think that they're absent because they're bad people. I think they're absent because their hands are tied, their power's been taken away, they're overburdened, they're understaffed, and frankly, more often than not, certainly at state levels, they don't have the money to go out there and do testing, and they can only rely on what companies are giving them.
And your novel is set in West Virginia, which relies a lot on coal for paying for pretty much all of its bills. In this case, you're dealing with the controversial practice of mountaintop removal. Why did you choose that in particular? I was thinking about Jonathan Franzen and Freedom. Mm-hmm. He also deals with it, but he seems to be a little more kindly toward the practice than you are.
Because it can be a very dirty practice, and I think that it is still in remote areas, and people don't have full awareness of it. And when they live in those states, they do. But from New Mexico to lead mining places down in Missouri, I mean, they're some of the worst places I've seen out there in Virginia. So I picked it because I think it's something that needs to be told that not everybody is truly aware. It can rape and pillage land and leave many, many tailings behind, lots of chemicals, and there are communities out there who are on well water, and that well water is now poisoned.
Because so it's not just a matter of making the environment ugly and leaving big slag heaps, but it also affects people's health?
Well, when people are drinking poisons, it sure can. And so all this groundwater is being impacted, and you know, some 40 million Americans are still on well water today. And they've just kind of fallen off the grid. And these people are drinking water out of their well that's laced with chemicals.
The people in your book experience blood in their urine. Is that something that comes from contaminated well water?
Well, we've seen that happen in many instances. And, you know, this is something that I think is frustrating for me, that I see that's frustrating for communities. I'm not sure why were surprised when people drink poisons that they could excrete urine in their urine or have bloody stools or have some gastrointestinal problem that we wouldn't imagine. They've been drinking a poison. And one thing that I'm getting very concerned about in all of these communities is we, whoever we is, whether it be government or science or companies, whoever we are, aren't listening to people who on a day-to-day basis are under assault and or drinking poisons. They're the very ones that can teach us what it's doing to us, but we don't listen to that.
Well, what do you say to proponents who claim that this mountaintop removal approach is the most cost-effective method for extracting coal, and it cuts down on our oil dependency and relieves us of dealing with the complications of creating nuclear energy?
Mm-hmm. There's always two sides to every argument, and some of the problems that I see that we're having is it's either going to go one way or the other way, and there seems to be no compromise. And I'm hearing this debate a lot. In the communities that I deal with, even communities like this little one in this with the mountaintop removal, we all don't want companies to go away. We realize that we have energy problems. We realize that we can access some here. We realize that we like to drive our cars and fly on vacation. We like our heat and electricity. No community is asking this to stop. I'm not asking it to stop. I'm just like you. I enjoy my car and the other benefits. But at the same time—
And even environmentalists fly in airplanes, which are
yes,
using—
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
all of those fossil fuels
That's
that
right.
we're talking about.
And so I think it gets to be a convoluted argument, and then people get confused, so it goes one way or the other. But what people are asking as we progress forward, that we are thoughtful and respectful and accountable and responsible to the environment, and should we have releases that those companies come in and clean up and be protective of public health and safety? You know, for these people, I could tell you for me even, I would think you'd feel the same. Getting involved in a lawsuit that could take 10 years in the hopes that you might receive $1 million and you're going to get cancer and die, it's not worth it. And so I'd like to see a situation where it's a win-win for communities, for agencies, and for companies. And all of us come to a meeting of the minds so we can step back, see the mess we have today, find a solution for it, and move forward.
My guest is Aaron Brockovich, who's written a novel, a thriller with C.J. Lyons called Rock Bottom. It is published by Vanguard Press. And in this book, A.J. barely survives an accident that may or may not have been set up by Madison Mining. Is the mining company the villain of this piece?
Well, I don't know. I guess that would be up to the reader, but that's kind of fun to have all that little bit of suspense in there. And again,
I can't believe that a mining company would be irresponsible or do anything bad.
Well, you know, I talk a lot about deceit. And if you look at the root cause of a lot of these issues, it is deception. And people think deceit's just a word, but it's actually it's an action. People are making a choice to hide and conceal something. In the now famous case with Pacific Gas and Electric, we could debate forever about that chemical. But the bottom line is a company released a known toxin willfully, intentionally. It was egregious. And when they deceived the community like that, they took their choice away to make a decision. Nobody wants to drink poisoned water. And so it
so they
is
just
possible.
Lied.
They lied and they hid, and that is a huge problem. And so, yes, some companies, out of their own fear and or greed, will conceal information that jeopardizes public health and safety.
And deceit is throughout this book, but also bribery. Have you ever been offered a bribe to stay quiet or to stop an investigation?
I haven't, but I've seen it happen.
This is the first book in a series of thrillers that you plan to write. Will they all have environmental themes?
Yes, we could weave AJ in and out of some other scenarios.
So it's going to be AJ again. The next one, I gather, is about a nuclear plant in South Carolina.
Yes, and nuclear facilities do exist out there. And, you know, what's happened for me and what's I like, we call the book a cause novel, is I receive 25,000 to 35,000 inquiries a month to my website from people all over the globe. And I've almost turned into some type of reporting agency because people don't know where to go to report things. So they're reporting it to me.
And you've become a symbol of an action against the really powerful.
Well, I don't want it to be an action against the really powerful. What I want it to be is some sort of resolve and solution, which we're not doing. And I'm hopeful that as we follow AJ through the course of these things and she begins to find those alternate solutions, which are resources and places for people to go, so we don't have to be here like sitting ducks and just wait to get cancer or something go wrong, that we can find a way to make this a win-win for everybody. So AJ is going to take us on that journey.
Well, tell us about your organization, Brockovich Research and Consulting. What sort of cases do you consult on?
Well, mostly environmental. I mean, that is my main job still. I'm a keynote speaker, and I do a lot of motivational speaking globally. I do a lot of environmental work, mostly groundwater contamination and dealing with those communities. And again, as I said, one thing that I'm seeing happening is I'm getting so many people who don't know where to go or to report something are coming to me, from whistleblower issues to work comp related problems to pharmaceutical issues to environmental issues, whether it be water, air, soil vapor intrusion, deceptions of companies. And I am trying to find ways to put together and get this information to someone or the right entity so these people can ultimately be helped.
I'd imagine if I were one of the companies that you were going after and I heard, oh, Aaron Brockovich has just come to town, I might, I don't know whether that would help or hurt.
I don't know either. I think it's a
total... Have you ever had to work under an alias?
No, I haven't. I would never want to. I just wouldn't. You know, we always used to have a joke. Somebody would say, you know, someone's going to kill you if they find out. And I'm like, oh, that stuff only happens in the movies. So I would never want to do that. I will forever believe, and I still do. I was born and raised in Kansas. by a very conservative man who was a mechanical engineer that actually worked for industry. And he is the very person that taught me in my life about respect, and the greatest gifts we have are clean water, good land, the right to good health, and the love of our family. And I absolutely believe, and I always will, and I'm just not going to change my position, that there is some way that we can, clearly we've come so far in technology and science and our thoughts as people, to be able to have companies. Industry was originally designed to make our lives better, not worse, that we can work together with them to be good stewards of the environment.
Now, you've written a novel, a thriller, Rock Bottom, about environmental crime and greed. Do you think that the press, the media, report enough on these kinds of stories?
I think that they try to, and again, it gets lost in it's either this way or it's this way, and there seems to be no solution or no compromise, and I don't know that they cover it enough, and I don't know that they cover it enough because people aren't reporting it to them.
Well, if you had your druthers, what big story do you think you'd want them to cover first? Is it the mountaintop removal?
It's a part of it. What I think is happening is we have exploded in our industrial world, and in our, I don't want to say haste because I want to progress forward too, but in our progression moving forward, we haven't stopped long enough to take a look back at what we've done, what we've left in place, and now it is in a huge, overwhelming issue. And we need to come back to it. In order to move forward, we've got to step back to see how we got in this mess today.
Well, the next book, as we said, will be about nuclear power, and many people are suggesting that that's the reasonable alternative to our dependence on oil.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect you don't feel that.
Well, I suspect that I'm going to be looking at it, and I'm going to be open and willing to listening to everything. But what I do want to happen, again, is people who have already lived in and around this type of facility that are experiencing these types of problems, I am asking us to take a look at that.
There is concern about what we do with the nuclear waste. There's a film from Finland about them burying nuclear waste in the deepest cave in all of the country. But then they worried, well, what happens if somewhere down the line, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, somebody stumbles upon this? There's no Finnish language anymore, and we wind up killing off a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, well, it is a concern. And what I would like to see happen is, you know, we talk about the economy and the energy and the environment. Cleaning up the environment and what has happened will create jobs. We can put people to work cleaning it up. We can get all of our science and technology to work and creating jobs to find better ways in the future to dispose of this waste.
Erin Brockovich has written a thriller with C.J. Lyons called Rock Bottom. It is published by Vanguard Press. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. Hope you follow AJ.